Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:04 on the clock, got Melissa and James here with you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and catch in with our good friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there, Paul or Michael?
Yeah, I got Paul
today. Paul. It is Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Doing well over here. What do we got for Mother? What does Mother Nature have in store for us today?
Yeah, certainly looking at a pretty quiet day today. Quiet for most of tomorrow as well. And then we start to see some light snow moving in here tomorrow night. Still some potential significant accumulations with this system starting tomorrow night, going through Thursday night as well. Some initial ideas on accumulations, maybe somewhere 5 to 8 inch range from Wednesday night through Thursday night. And then also the winds also going to be something we'll contend with as this winds whip up here as we get into Thursday night and then Friday. So when we gust over 40 miles per hour, it could be pretty consistent Thursday night, Friday, as well as Friday night. So once we get that fresh snow, the blowing snow will be certainly an issue for travel. Looks like we're still going to stay with breaks. The sun and some clouds today. Highs about 14, 9 below zero tonight, and then 13 on Wednesday. The clouds thickening up late in the day as snow moves in Wednesday night. The low of 8 above. Going to be that very much that light, fluffy, powdery snow that piles up quickly here from Wednesday night through Thursday. 21 Thursday, 3 above. Light snow showers Thursday night. Blowing snow also becomes more of an issue Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. Those gusts 30 to 40 miles per hour to the northwest. 9 above Friday with the blowing snow. 7 on Saturday for highs then. So definitely some travel concerns out there, to say the least, here later half of the week.
Yeah. So just stay home, basically. just stay home, yeah. Everybody. Okay, thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Bundle up warm. Stay home. Yeah. It's a good thing we like you, Paul.
Oh, you're the best, Paul.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
We appreciate you, Paul. You have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. You guys too.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trombley. Also best at putting up with us.
Yep. but you got to admit, that forecast is not pleasant to hear.
No.
No, especially because most people are going to be traveling during that time, and oof.
We do know that we've got some, stuff coming. So prepare, be careful out there.
Give yourself plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Pack those emergency car kits. Have extra blankets, flashlights, batteries, all of the things you need.
This morning, I saw right by our roundabout here, somebody got stuck, like right on the turn part where you're popping out of the roundout. And so I was a little nervous because they're stuck there and it's dark out.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't know if there was going to be a crash. I'll be honest with you guys, I thought for sure there was going to be a crash. Everybody slowed down and worked their way around him.
Now,
I only had time to watch a little bit, but I saw at least 6 or 7 cars slow down and move around that person.
Good.
One person stopped to see if they could help.
Nice.
That was pretty cool. That was nice to see. That kind of grace, keep that kind of thing going, everybody. We're going to need
Midwest
it.
Midwest nice.
We're going to need that. And just look out for each other here a little bit, too. Certainly take care of your own backyard, making sure those things Melissa was just touching on. It's funny because we've been dealing with this, the majority of us, for 30, 40 years or whatever, our whole lives. But it never fails. You know, those early early first month of dealing with this kind of weather, black ice, all these things.
It's easy to forget how terrible and bad it can be. So being overprepared at this time of year is, I don't think, a bad thing.
Agreed. I think that, like, I can remember my papa and my dad telling me how to handle black ice, but I wasn't, like, I didn't have somebody in the car with me and, like, physically going through it. It was one of those things that you kind of have to experience and just kind of, like, live through, like, kind of, like, learn how to work it. I was trying to describe it to a student the other day, like, how to handle it. He just got his license and everything. And I was like, that's really cool and all, especially in the city. And it's not surprising to see somebody 17, 18 waiting to get their license. You got public transportation.
Right, if you don't need it.
But we're talking, because he's all freaked out about driving in the winter and black ice. And his mom, like had this horror story she gave him. So now he's, like, kind of worked up and got all this built up in his head. It's not that bad. It's not, it's one of those things. you really have to experience to be able to really handle. But if you trust the wheel, if you trust the vehicle, and really, like, what, physics? I don't know how you really put that.
Yes.
I'm trying to find a way to put it without sounding, like, condescending. Well, I don't want to sound like, you know.
Well, because you're right, though. Until you've actually experienced it, you can't learn it from a textbook.
Yeah.
So what I did as a kid growing up learning how to drive on snowy roads, you go somewhere where it's safe.
Yeah.
You find an empty parking lot that has snow cover or even ice cover to just, I mean, I don't know if that's legal. Sorry, Sheriff Becker, if it's not what you're supposed to
do.
But
it's fair. But I don't know either.
You know, to just, or if you're coming around even slowly, the one thing that I usually do when I get out on the road is I'll be going on a blank road. Nobody in front of me, nobody behind me, and I'll slam on the brakes.
Mm.
Because then I know where the traction point is.
Right up.
You know, how and obviously in the winter, you never want to slam on your brakes.
No. Right.
But it gives you a gauge of how bad it is.
Well, yeah, you don't want to find out something like that in
when
real
you need to slam on your brakes.
Exactly, yes.
So it's really important to give yourself plenty of following time. Don't be right on somebody's tail end, because if they run into trouble, you're going to add to the trouble.
Your suggestion about the parking lot is what Brian, one of my teachers, suggested to this kid, too, about finding a parking lot, and especially one that might have some ice in it. And you know,
yeah, because even just when you do a turn and you feel your vehicle start to lose that traction, then you can figure out how to turn into your slide.
Yeah. So our first article of the hour is very similar to our first article last hour, where we focused, you know, we had a great story about Wisconsin and where Wisconsin ranked and all these things. Well, here is another one. Tis this season. After all, the snow this week, it's hardly a surprise that Wisconsin ranked highly overall for having Christmas spirit. So where do Wisconsin rank when it comes to Christmas spirit?
Christmas spirit.
Second overall.
Hey!
Wisconsin was only topped by New Hampshire, which placed first for the second year in a row, survey officials said.
Wow.
Get CenturyLink said in order, that's all one word, and that's a website. Get CenturyLink said in order to reach the rankings, it compiled data in two main categories: Christmas-themed online activity in the last year and Christmas cultural markers. After using 1,000 American respondents data on their attributes and habits celebrating Christmas, data analysts weighed each of the metrics in the categories.
Okay.
Wisconsin ranked 16th on the list last year, which wasn't bad enough to earn a lump of coal. Not bad from last year, but real improvement. I don't know why there was the giant improvement, but hey, we'll take it.
Yeah, nice. Way to go, Wisconsinites.
Yeah. The survey ranked the top 10 states. So New Hampshire, Wisconsin, 1 and 2. Utah, number 3. West Virginia, number 4. Pennsylvania, number 5. Delaware, number 6. Vermont at number 7. Michigan at 8. Alaska at 9.
Nice.
And Massachusetts at number 10.
Wow. Those are really kind of clumped together.
Yeah.
Very East Coast. And then that outlier, Alaska.
Well, in Utah, way out there, too.
Yeah, in Utah.
So, but outside of those, yeah, pretty stuck on that East Coast.
And the Midwest, yeah.
Yes. Of all the survey respondents, Gen Zers, Millennials, and Gen Xers plan to keep most of their holiday traditions going, while 50% of Boomers said that they keep less traditions than they used to. Now, that is we're doing this article because we want to promote Wisconsin and talk about Wisconsin anytime we can talk about this state and chump it up and everything. It's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But that last part there, I have to admit, I wouldn't say fascinating, but it's borderline fascinating to me, because that's not the tradition. That's not how things usually work. When we were kids, we were always told that, you know, you got to keep these traditions going because we're going to keep them going, the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
But now it seems like as we all know, the old generation has kind of gone, and you have the boomers as kind of the oldest generation in some regards now.
Right.
And with that, they're kind of like,
they're passing the torch is what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're
saying,
you know, yep, we carried these traditions for so long. Now it's your turn.
Done.
Because their lives have changed significantly. For most of them, they don't have kids at home anymore.
Right.
And, you know, they're not necessarily hosting the Christmas you know, gathering, get together. So it is. It's moving on to the next generation. They have to carry on the traditions.
Well, very well worded and said. And I was going to say basically everything you just said because I saw my this happen with my mom and dad. I watched them in the last two winters, the last two Christmases, completely. I would say completely change, but change so much from the way that they have done every Christmas my whole life, mm-hmm. where it was my mom got out her totes and her boxes, and she's got like six or seven of these things of Christmas stuff. And let me remind the audience, my Jewish mother, who loves Christmas, would do this. And my dad would just, you know, kind of shake his head, hang everything, help, you know, what do you want over here, Pam? You know what I mean? And the tall stuff, hanging those things up and everything. Last year, not as much stuff. But, you know, still some things.
Yeah.
This year, realizing, wait, the grandkids aren't coming here. And I don't really have to put up a tree if I don't want. Mm-hmm. Do you want a tree, Jim? I don't want a tree. Do you want a tree, Pam? I don't want a tree. Let's not put up a tree. Yeah. It's a hassle. If it's just us, we don't need a tree.
Put it up and take it down and...
No tree this year, everybody. Like an executive decision between the two people still living in the home.
Right.
I get it. I think that there's some power in that. That's kind of, especially like, because obviously this isn't every family, but I'm looking at just my family here. My mom and dad got together when they were 15 and 16. Hmm. They had me when they were basically 17, 18. They never got a chance to really be just kids, just parents.
Yeah.
I mean, just a single couple.
A couple.
Couple. Mm-hmm. Those things. All the kids are out of the house now. There's nobody there. The grandkids come by every once in a while and stuff. Like, live.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Now they get a chance to just be.
Yeah. It's rough that it took this long. It's rough that they're not able to do this maybe when they're physically where they would like to be and all these things. So that part isn't cool, but I mean, you know, take advantage of what you can. And if it means maybe not putting up the Christmas tree this year or some of these traditions maybe going by the wayside and letting the other kids pick them up.
Well, a lot of that is it's pressure. And it takes energy and time. And as we get older and we just don't have the time or energy or effort to want to do all of those things anymore, doesn't mean it needs to take away from the season.
Not
because Christmas is about loving and caring and giving and hope. And you don't need decorations to have that.
Yeah. Well said. I also think that pressure part is a great thing to bring up because that was the first thing my mom responded with. Am I going to hurt? Am I going to disappoint the kids? Am I going to disappoint?
Is somebody going to be feeling badly because I didn't do this?
Yeah. No. And right away, my dad, you know, telling, oh, it's all right, you know, and all this stuff and everything. But if you'd like to see this complete article about Wisconsin ranking second in the nation for having the most Christmas spirit, you can go to NBC15.com. That's NBC15.com. As we send a shout out to NBC 15 in Madison, Wisconsin.
Whoop, whoop.
Great station.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to doing some celebrating coming up right here on the morning show here at WFHR. Sounds like the Pointer Sisters.
Very upbeat.
Yeah. Happy birthday, everybody. Welcome to the Misty's Major Birthday and Anniversary Club. I was still taken off by that one. I didn't expect a new one. That was pretty cool. Nicely done by Seth there, putting that
Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, appreciate that. It's time to do some celebrating. It's time for you. Get on over to Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Melissa, do you have any names to add to the list or anything today?
For today, I do not.
Okay. So we have just one name on the list.
All right.
So we get to put our spotlight on Marge Gauze.
Happy birthday, Marge.
Marge, we wish you a fantastic day. Enjoy. You are our qualifier. We hope you have a great one. Want to thank whoever sent us this birthday. Thank you so much for doing that. Mm-hmm. Keep those birthdays coming, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james@WFHR.com. You can go ahead and like our Facebook page. Yeah. Direct message us that way as well. Morse code, smoke signals, whatever you need to do, get us your birthdays and anniversaries. So, again, Marge Gauze, happy birthday to you, Marge.
Happy birthday. Congratulations. You're our qualifier.
We take a look at some celebrity birthdays here. And I don't. Hopefully, I got the complete list here. I will apologize if I don't. I have to. I've been having to pull from some different sites for my birthday, my celebrity birthdays here.
Mm-hmm.
But first on the list, Kylian Mbappe is where's his age? Darn it!
It's his birthday.
It's his birthday. He was born in 1998. My God. So he's 12. No, I mean, he's my goodness. He was born in 1998. I graduated in 96. this kid makes me feel old. I just watched, and like millions and millions and millions of other people around the world, mm-hmm. we just watched this kid take over the World Cup, basically.
24.
Yeah, thank you, Melissa. I was trying to do the math.
I had to get out
my
calculator. Oh, okay, I don't do mental math before 9 and actually ever.
Yeah. My dad is a human calculator, so uh-huh. I trying to keep up with him my whole life. I try and I fail all the time. The way, if you watch the World Cup this last 48 hours ago,
right.
or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
it looked like it was going to be kind of a boring World Cup. Like, for the most part, Argentina looked like they pulled ahead, and it looked like it was going to go pretty good. If you are a football fan, if you're a soccer fan, you know one of the most dangerous things in soccer is a 2-goal lead.
Mm.
Because they just get, boom, 1 goal, and boom. It's just a landslide, and it happens. And that's before knowing of this kid, Mbappe, who basically took it over for France. Like, just... He had a hat trick in the biggest game of his life, and this is his second. This is his second World Cup. Apparently, France won a World Cup already. He's got a World Cup title. He's like in the top 3 or top 5, I believe, of most goals in World Cup history already.
Wow!
And he's 24. So while it is kind of like. I think that if you are a loose soccer fan, a soccer fan, you can understand that Pele is the greatest of all time. Nobody will ever do what Pele did. You know, oh, Pele didn't play in Europe. Pele didn't do this. Pele brought the game to the rest of the world.
Hmm.
Like, nobody will ever do anything like that because Pele already did it.
Already did it. You kind of can't.
Lionel Messi has won every single award there is, and now that he has won the World Cup, he officially has won everything there is. It's pretty hard to say that Messi isn't the greatest of all time. You can throw all these different people at you. He's got literally every title there is. But this kid, when it's all said and done, this might be the greatest athlete of all. This might be the greatest footballer of all time.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see what's coming for him. I had to look up hat trick for those of us that aren't soccer fans.
I'm sorry.
Scoring 3 goals in a single game.
Yeah, I should have said that.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's my bad.
That's why I'm here. I can help fill in those. Hey, for those of us that don't know.
Thank you for doing
sports
that.
Sports stuff.
Number two on the list, next person on this list, Jonah Hill, born in 1983 in Los Angeles, California. Maybe a little loosely unknown, Jonah Hill has always practiced jiu-jitsu. And has a real fitness routine, which I don't think a lot of people might associate with him, unfortunately. But
yeah.
I will say I'm happy to see that he's still working. He was going to quit for a while there. Or not quit, but retire. He just, some of the things that just the stressors of the job and some of these things kind of got big.
Well, jiu-jitsu is a practice of discipline.
Yes.
So that speaks to his ability to stick with it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a good actor. Very good actor.
And comedian.
Yes. Let us see here. JoJo was born on this date in 1990. JoJo is an American actress, singer, songwriter, child prodigy. She released her self-titled debut album at the age of 13.
Wow.
Jeez. Irene Dunne, born on this date in 1898. Louisville, Kentucky. Irene was one of the prominent actors of the golden age of Hollywood. She's best known for her comedic roles and nominated for an Academy Award 5 times. Maybe best known as Theater Goes Wild or I Remember Mama. A couple of great performances there. John Spencer, great character actor, born in this day in 1946. Another great one, John Hillman, born in this day. Now, many people know John Hillman as Higgins from Magnum P.I.
Oh.
He was great as Higgins. He was very good as that role.
I just love that name.
Yeah, that is a good name.
There should be. If I ever get a dog, I'm naming it Higgins.
It's a good name. It's a very good name for a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good dog name, yes. Let us see here. Dick Wolf, born on this day in 1946, creator and executive producer of everything Law and Order, like every Law and Order carnation ever. He's also the creator of all the Chicago franchises.
Okay. The FBI, Chicago PD.
Yes, yes. All
of
them.
Yeah. Keepers.
I'm waiting for that because nowadays it's not enough to have those shows. Oh, years back they did this too, but now it's like every season they do it where they do the crossover episodes. I want to see him try to pull off crossover episodes with all the Law and Orders and all the Chicago shows. I want to see them try to work that out at BC. Mm. Come on, do that. Let's see you pull that off.
It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. I growing up was a huge fan of the Law and Order show, Law and Order series, the original series. And I've watched every one of the other shows. I don't watch them as much anymore, and they have not aged very well. that's one of those things that you look back and you watch stuff like when you were young and you watched them. And I grew up in a law family. Mm-hmm. My mom's side of the family, like three or four different attorneys, including my grandfather, who was, you know, interned with Chicago 7. Mm. So very law practicing and understanding law. Law was talked about a lot. Then on my other side of the family, my dad's side of the family, well, we dealt with the law a lot too, just in a very different way.
Okay, but you get both sides of the story. It's good.
And with the TV show Law and Order, I got both sides of the story. I always thought that was kind of cool. However, going back and watching old episodes and watching some of the ways that they frame some of these shows and things and where they get a lot of their not, it just, you know, it doesn't age well.
Well, but that's true with a lot of things Absolutely. That were produced in the 80s and 90s, especially. It's worse going back further, but the 80s and the 90s, you think it's not that long ago.
You have to be able to balance these things in your head.
Yeah, and it's a good example of how far we've come.
Yes. Incredibly creative human being, though, Dick Wolf.
Yes. Yeah.
Peter Criss, born in this day in 1945 in Brooklyn, New York, former drummer and singer with the band Kiss.
Hmm.
One of the more famous drummers, really, of all time.
Don't recognize him without his makeup.
No, he's not. The picture I was seeing of him, too, he didn't have the cat makeup on, yeah. DeAndre Fox, born in this day in 1997, great basketball player. I think he's made a couple of All-Stars, or at least one All-Star. I'm not sure. Now, let me see. I think that is pretty much, yeah, we're getting, yep, that is going to about do it for the list here. I thought there was at least one or two more that I wanted to mention. Do you have any, do you have a list over there?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure. All right.
I look them up as you say who they are so I can see who they are and try to add to the conversation.
You do a darn good job.
Well, because a lot of these people, I don't know their names. I'm terrible with remembering names, and I feel bad about that. But
Here's one that I think is good for Melissa or anybody else to look up. Samuel Mudd, born in this day in 1833 in Charles County. He's a physician, farmer, politician. And really one of the, I don't know if architect is a great way to put it or not, but certainly one of those guys who from the South was trying to represent certain things. Mm-hmm. And whether I agreed with them or not or anything, I'm a big believer in, hey, there's a group of people that nobody's talking about, nobody's paying attention to. I want to speak for them. Mm-hmm. Even if they are not a group of people that I agree with necessarily or not. Not saying that's the case with Samuel Mudd. I just think that that's an important outlier here. That, yeah. You know, we there are groups of people that are unheard. There are groups of people that aren't known. This is, you know, the one of the points we try to make on a lot of things when we're talking, especially this time of year.
And he died young. He was only 49. Died of pneumonia.
That I don't think I knew. Interesting. And that is about going to do it for our birthdays and anniversaries. One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Marge Gauze. Happy birthday, Marge.
Happy birthday, Marge.
Enjoy your day. We hope it's a great one for you.
Mm-hmm.
And get us birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Get more of them to us. You can send them to info at WFHR. Send them to James at WFHR. Send them to Melissa.
Melissa.k at civicmedia.us.
Like our Facebook page and direct message us that way as well. We don't care how you do it. Just get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with you. Go ahead and take a listen to Melissa's news while you're on your way to Misty's Menu and treating yourself. Get on over there. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 Stead Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm dreaming of a white
Christmas. Well, we're going to have that.
Yeah, yeah. No worries there. Covered. And
might be whiter than we want it to be.
And checkmark.
Yes.
Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Hope you're having a great one out there. That morning cannolis commercial, it gets me every time. It's because of the Michael McDonald in the background and everything. Now I'm going to have his voice in my head all morning. Has Michael McDonald ever done any Christmas songs?
Don't know.
I wonder. I got to look into that because he seems like he'd have a perfect voice for like White Christmas for like, White Christmas. It seems like he'd have one of those voices that would be really good for him. I like his voice. It's a very unique. It's a very unique voice. Mm-hmm. You go to UPI.com for this next article right here. An Alberta couple's home is filled with 133 decorated Christmas trees.
Wow.
They have nowhere to move. They're wondering if they can stay at your place. This Alberta couple filled their home with 133 decorated Christmas trees to raise money for a local animal shelter.
Oh, that's an awesome reason.
Tom Karlerlich and Vince Jackman said that they first filled their Red Deer home with Christmas trees and opened the door to the public about 15 years ago when they had 15 decorated trees in their home.
15. That's, you know, excessive, but manageable.
Yeah. The couple said the number of trees has increased every year to a total of 133 trees this year.
Wow.
The pair said that the tours they give of their tree-filled home raise money for the Central Alberta Humane Society.
Tree-filled and nothing else.
Yeah. Jackman said the current crop of trees, which features in every room of their home, include the garage, including trees up to 12 feet tall.
Whoa. They must have a huge house.
Yeah. The pair said many of the ornaments on the trees were donated by friends, family, and members of the public.
Okay, and they have had to add an addition to store these ornaments for the rest of the year.
There's so many things popping
so
up
many
in my
questions.
Head.
Yes.
Just taking a quick time out, I love the idea of you and I donate some ornaments, and then we're looking around this place. Oh, there's the ornament we donated.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
We're, quote, we're kind of hoarders at heart.
Oh!
Karlerlich told CTV News. I just can't throw anything out, so I make trees that have stuff that I already have, or I see something in a thrift store. I just create something from things that people would have thrown out.
Okay.
The annual event was dubbed Sophia Celebrates Christmas 5 years ago after the couple's beloved Chihuahua.
Aww.
Sophie died after a year of heart health complications.
Hmm.
Quote, every Christmas, if you couldn't find her, she was always underneath some of the Christmas trees, laying there just underneath the tree on the Christmas mats.
Nice.
Jackson told the news. So this is where that all began. What was wanting to find a way to honor her.
Yeah. And then raising money for their humane society. That's a beautiful story.
It's a really cool story. I did not find a ton. Like, they have a great Instagram profile. And basically, if you look at the Central Alberta Humane Society, you will find it.
Hmm.
But looking around, like, I'm trying to show, trying to find pictures to be able to show Melissa here a little example of this. There's literally no room.
Yes, it's a room with, trees everywhere. And they're beautiful. That's just a lot of trees in one space.
I would think, you know, after 133 of these, like maybe 10, 15, you're feeling pretty good. You're enjoying it. By like tree 40, you've got to be burnt out, man. I mean, how many times can you put tinsel on a tree? But
I wonder how much money they raised for their humane society, though. It must be a significant amount if they're continuing to, you know, keep this tradition going and growing it. But honestly, that's a lot of work and a lot of dedication. So good on them.
Just this year alone, they have, if I'm reading this right, just this year alone, they have raised over $37,000 for the Central Alberta Humane Society.
Wow.
I'm dumbfounded by that. That's incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that is amazing to me.
That's worth 136 trees.
Yeah.
And no room to move around in your home.
None.
Just a small aside, I don't think they actually fit into the definition of hoarders because all of us have seen snippets of that TV show, and this is not that. That's a very nice home with very nicely decorated and arranged trees. Just not a lot of space.
I do cringe. I mean, I want us to be able to, I don't want to be overly like serious or overly like cringy or language is fun. Words are fun and everything like that. But I do worry that we throw that word hoarder around a little loosely sometimes because there are people out there really dealing with that.
Yes, people who actually suffer with that and struggle with that. It ruins lives.
It does. I don't want to pretend like I know much about it because I've only dealt with hoarding like once or twice, and it was after the person had already passed and seeing their house afterwards. And I've never seen anything. I grew up in poverty. I grew up in shambles and seeing a lot of that stuff. There's such a difference of something like that and a person who is leaving and just with so much stuff and it's so unorganized. And they
can't throw away anything.
And they just can't stop themselves from doing it. I really think this is one of those things that if you let yourself... is very relatable. We all have things in our apartment, in our home, in our cars, somewhere, in your purse, if you're a woman, maybe, for guys, in our wallets. We all have stuff that we're just not ready to let go of. But just not... I got a four-leaf clover in my wallet that my Aunt Deb gave me when I was a kid. It hasn't looked like a four-leaf clover since then. It just looks like a little piece of like a, why is it, you know, if somebody came across it, you would have no idea why that is in my wallet. I can't let it go. It means too much to me. Yeah. It's silly to have in there. It just gets in the way. I've even had, it get in the way in some really unopportune times before. But, it is what it is. I don't want to let it go. That's just one little thing. I don't mean this as like a comparison. Like I can relate to a hoarder. I just mean that we all can relate, I think, in some way or another to that.
Because we all hang on to things, and especially people who don't move.
Yeah.
It's really, really easy to just keep putting stuff into a closet and forgetting about it or piling it up in a drawer or someplace. But actual hoarders can't throw away anything, even garbage. And it can be a really terrible situation for people who suffer from that or children who grow up in those kind of households. Because it can be very damaging.
Yeah, very much. We are going to come back and we're going to have some fun with some stuff here. So being the head of our news department and everything, I thought it might be fun for us to kind of go over the year in review a little bit with Melissa here and there. We're not going to go the complete year.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But when we come back, we'll get into a little of that. And throughout the week, really up until the end of the year here, we're going to be doing this. And I did want to let the audience know, Thursday, the 29th, okay? We have Melissa and Seth in with us. We'll get the as Seth calls it, the James gang together here and everything. I want to go over the year in review here at WFHR. We're going to take that calendar down we have here in the studio.
Okay.
And three of us are going to go through it.
Go back through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And just see, how the year was and kind of go through our own year review here at the station.
Fun.
So we'll do that next week and we're looking forward to it. But more stuff coming up. When we get back, we're going to talk noodling.
Noodling
when we come back. And I promise
that's questions.
Safe. I promise it's safe. It's
safe.
It's safe for a morning show.
Okay. Kosher.
Yes.
As it were.
As it were. Nicely played. Coming up here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. And we're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got a lot of fun things lined up in the 9 o'clock hour. One thing I think that is incredibly important that is missing a lot nowadays is accountability and owning things or being able to admit when you're wrong. Like there's something that went out the wayside with that.
Taking responsibility for your actions.
Yeah. Instead of people kind of like owning that when they're wrong, like doubling down on being wrong. And that sort of thing. With that being said, I was way off earlier when I was talking about Mr. Mudd. I mixed up Samuel Mudd with Seeley Mudd.
Ah.
Samuel Mudd.
I was a little confused when you started talking about him. And yes, he was a physician.
Which was something that was similar to somebody else, but obviously Samuel Mudd, you don't have to do a whole lot of digging to realize that that guy, you know, helped out John Wilkes Booth.
Yes.
So kind of enemy of the state sort of thing, you know, not exactly the same guy that I was thinking of.
Okay.
I do apologize for that. I was thinking of Seeley G. Mudd. Seeley was a gentleman who did a ton of philanthropy, dedicated, let's see, during his lifetime, Dr. Mudd contributed more than $10 million to private colleges and universities. Via his will, he created the Seeley G. Mudd Foundation to contribute the work that educational excellence he be supported in the form of grants for the construction of buildings for teaching, learning, and research. He was a big believer in academics.
Okay.
And that was the gentleman I was thinking of and tried to talk about.
That makes far more sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. But see,
to own it.
You have to.
Right.
It's so silly not to. Guess what? I was wrong. Guess who else was? Every single other person that's ever existed. We've all been wrong before. It's okay. It's how we learn. Mm-hmm. It's how we grow and get better as people. I don't want to be right all the time. What are you going to learn if you're right all the time?
Yeah.
Imagine being these people that are yes men or need yes people in their life or constantly have to be told that every idea and everything they're doing is you know, not only correct, but you know, God-like and everything. Like, I can't think of anything more boring or annoying to me than being surrounded by that or being one of those people that needs that.
Well, because it also promotes a lack of learning and understanding about the world around you, which this gentleman, Mr. Mudd, obviously believed was a very important part of our society. Education is fundamental to us being able to contribute to our society.
And I could have used a little more education on that moment right there.
Well, you know, we can't know everything, but the more we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Star swipe. Star swipe. I wanted to get to some of those weird stories. We're going to keep going through these throughout the year, towards the end of the year here, just kind of recapping some of this stuff. So Louisiana's newest legal sport. We did this story a little while back. Louisiana's newest legal sport, noodling.
Noodling.
Noodling, which is when one catches catfish with their bare hands. That became legal in Louisiana in August. Not like that it stopped them any time before that or anything.
Okay, but now it's legal.
Yes.
Catching catfish with your hands. That sounds like painful.
So they get in the mud. I've seen this done a little bit, not in person, just on TV. They get down there and they get weight into the water and then they feel around. Once they got a catfish, they're like basically if, and I'm sorry, I'm probably mucking this up and everything, but they get the catfish jumps on their arm, like their hand, grabs their hand.
Like your hand is the worm.
Yeah, pretty much. And they whip them up from there. They get them up from there. There's more to it than that.
Uh-huh.
But it's been around for, hundreds of years.
But don't catfish have like stingers on their mouths?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's got to be a way around that, I'm sure. There's something that they're doing to counter that or whatever.
That's crazy. And it's called noodling.
Yes.
I've heard of trout tickling.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, your fingers, you try to get them to swim over top of your hand, and then you basically just fling them out onto the shore.
Yeah.
But this, like, just stick your hand right in their mouth.
Trying to see.
Sure.
If I can find the video here of somebody doing some noodling, and it's like they're, so they get down. Oh, they're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they're right in the water. They're all the way in it. And that
whoa.
Fish is number one.
I want to go back a little bit here. I want to see if I can get this here.
It's got her whole hand in its mouth, and it's the size of like the giantest watermelon you've seen.
Oh, so she's going.
Yeah, she's actually under the water.
Underwater doing this, like getting right in there, right down there to be able to grab this fish.
Or have the fish grab her.
Yes, probably more accurately put. And
then wrestling it in the water.
Yeah.
That is some crazy stuff, man.
And this catfish she's pulling up, if that doesn't weigh the same as her, it's got to be like got a couple pounds
well,
on
it. Well, it's the size of her, half of her body.
If this, and she's got it through the, oh, wow, okay.
Oh, it's
so
right
she's got it through
the gill.
The gill.
Okay.
That seems tense.
Different.
Yeah.
Than
yeah.
in the mouth.
I've seen it done through the mouth.
Well, and it's still going through the mouth, just gill first.
Yeah, yeah. That don't seem the way I've seen it done, though.
But oh, man, and she just flings it up over top of her shoulder?
That is awesome,
it's
though.
It's huge. That thing's got to weigh like 50 pounds.
From what I've read, it doesn't hurt the fish.
Okay.
From what I've read, I don't know. Again, this isn't my wheelhouse or anything like that. But if that's but the case, and it's not hurting the fish, and
right?
All that,
but what's the point of catching it? Are they going to?
I have no idea.
Release it then, or
no
are they
idea
eating
what
it?
What the point of this is? Yes, if they are not catching it to eat it, yes, I don't
yeah.
know.
Okay.
The video that I saw last or the other night when I was doing this story or looking over this recapping the story, they caught it, let it go, caught it, let it go, and it was like, okay,
poor thing.
Like yeah, yeah. I don't know. I could be honest with the audience, as silly as this might sound. I don't know. I don't think it was the same catfish, but they looked very similar, these catfish.
Well, you know, it's not like they dress different.
Right. You know, they don't have, like one's got a ball cap on, one doesn't or anything. I also should say, this kid, she looks like she's 16, like doing the, like
yeah.
a very young girl doing mm-hmm. this too. That is impressive to me. that is very impressive to me by
New
that young
sport
lady.
In Louisiana.
Right on.
I'm not signing up for that one.
If I could do it with some people that have been doing it for years, like really know what they're doing, I would, you know, win in Rome kind of moment. I might give it a try. I like fishing, but I'm not a good fisherman. I'm the guy that fishes and throws stuff back.
Well,
I don't.
That's catch and release. That's
yeah,
okay.
I get a lot of heat from people on this, though. Like, you're not a real fisherman. You don't go out there and you don't. You
still caught it.
I like fishing. I like being out there. I like being in nature. I like catching fish. I don't like keeping them, though. I don't have any interest in killing them. I've seen enough death in my life, all right? I've seen enough violence. I just like being out there.
I don't really have any interest in catching them either. If I was hungry and I needed food, yes. But I'm also terrible at it, so I'd probably starve to death if catching fish was my only option.
Thank goodness, huh? Thank you, grocery stores.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So another one that I wanted to touch on here. This fall, the Swinomish tribe built the U.S.'s first modern clam garden.
Clam garden.
Reviving an ancient practice.
Hmm.
It is believed that a clam garden, a traditional indigenous way of boosting shellfish production.
Okay.
Had it been built in the United States for close to 200 years.
Oh.
A few dozen people in work gloves and rubber boots gathered on the small island about 50 miles north of Seattle during one of the lowest tides of the year, and rock and by rock brought the practice back.
Cool.
Fascinating way of being able to do this, too. So I don't think that we could really get too in-depth on being able to explain this, but I do encourage people to Google clam garden. Clam garden, and right away you're going to have Clam Garden Network pop up. You're going to have, of course, the Wikipedia version of this. And clam garden is quite fascinating to look at, though. Just interesting to see some of these things of what it is. And how this works.
Yeah, and just being able to help the population grow because, I mean, they're a food source. We eat them. Well, some people eat them.
Right. and I've never had clams, so I don't know what they taste like or any of that. But
I actually did because we had some at when we went out for sushi before Thanksgiving. And it was, you know, I've had it once. I don't need to have it again.
Not your thing. Not
no,
your thing.
No.
It's a really cool kind of practice.
It is.
What goes on here, how this works and everything.
Well, and a way to help repopulate the population of clams.
Yeah. We got some more weird, wild, fun stories coming up we'll get into, along with some good stories of the day that we'll be getting touching on as well, and plenty more coming up in our 9 o'clock hour right around the corner. Like, I wanted to get into some interesting facts about Christmas. I want to touch on that one, too. You and I, when we get together, we usually do our random, fun, wacky facts and all. I thought we'd focus a little bit more on Christmas this
season.
Yeah. We'll get into that coming up, and plenty more right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. It is WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.